same price. Ellie Steinberger, okay? It's okay. Time to get in touch with me online. If you can get in touch with me today. Yeah, because they want to. They're trying to find him for
something good, but they want to speak to him.
There's some prize or something that he's up for.
Is there something to you or?
What? Yeah, Kevin, call me because I have the information.
Do you meet with the Rebbe
Shir on Sunday? I won't be able to be giving a Shir on Sunday because it's this dedication thing. Should you come? It's hard to say. I mean, whoever wants is certainly invited to come. It's given for a broader audience, obviously. I think there are two shiurim, each of which is 40. They've cut our time as time has gone on. So I think I think Rav Schechter is speaking and I'm speaking, and both of us, I think we're each speaking for 45 minutes. whoever wants to come is certainly welcome. But the result is that there's, we're both speaking, and then there's meal of afterwards as well. So there just won't be time, unfortunately. We just won't be able to get the sharing on Sunday. But whoever wants is definitely invited to come. Okay, I'm just glad that you. It's good that you reminded me. We should start it again. Yeah. Okay. So let's try. Can we try Monday. We can try for Monday. So let's try Monday 12:30. Again, I've been very negligent on the Hashkafa side of things. So let's try Monday 12:30, and we'll proceed from there. Thank you for reminding me. Okay. Okay, let's finish off our discussion of the Mardim. So far, what we have is several Gemaras, which leave us with very different impressions. We have our local Gemara, here in Bava Kamma, Samach Chesam Beis, to Samach Tesam Aleph, where the Gemara seems to say that Chazra, Karen Lebailim, which we discussed a little bit already, depends on Chayev Atalitein Lo. As far as transforming something into away from being a chevet haganuv into being a pikadon or the equivalent of a pikadon, so that any future effort to keep the chevet will become a new gzela rather than a continuation gneva, therefore tzvicha mechira. That depends, says the Gemara, on Tzeitein lo rather than chayev ata litein. That's our Gemara. So that already is very confusing if you just read our Gemara. And since both of these were candidates in the Gemara for Hamada Bedin, or as Eli Chai points out, according to some Gersel, it's Gemar Din, and maybe there's a difference. So that in itself is very intriguing. The Gemara said, which is it? Is it, what is Hamada Bedin? Is it chayev ata litein? Is it Tzeitein? And then the Gemara concludes Tzeitein with regard to Tzvicha Mechira. But we still are saying that Chayev Atalitein is Koveya for Chazra Karen. So it's just very confusing. What does the Gemara have in mind? Are there two Gemar Dins? If there are two Gemar Dins, what do they correspond? And when will you apply one as opposed to the other? If there aren't two Gemar Dins, so our Gemara would seem to be saying that Tzeitein is the Gemar Din or the Hamada Bedin. So why is it that Chayev Atalitein is Koveya with regard to Chazra Karen Labailin? If we end up saying that it isn't really Dafka Chazra, it isn't Dafka Chayev Atalitein, but it is even the coming of witnesses, or the testifying of witnesses, which may be a way to read Rashi, which is the discussion of the Rashash. So then that would considerably mitigate the problem in terms of Gemar Din Hamada Bedin. It might further raise the question, what is Chazra Karen the Bailam all about, what its criterion is, the issue that we already discuss. But just if we don't accept the Rashash, then obviously our Gemara becomes very, very challenging. It seems like there are two concepts of Gemara Din and our Gemara itself. Then we have the other Gemaras, and that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Vav Amud Beis. So the Gemara says with regard to Pshara, Pshara is a good thing, it's a lechatchila, but you shouldn't propose Pshara after Gemara Din. There too, there are some questions in the Gemara, or some diukim in the Gemara, the Adrama in particular. Nigmar Adin or Gemar Din, Gomru Asadin or Nigmar Asadin. But either way, the simple reading of the Gemara is that the Gemara there says that the definition of Gemar Din for precluding Pshara is Ploni Ata Chayev, Ploni Ata Zakai, which some Rishonim seem to identify with Chayev Ata Litein, but which could be, as we and is according to other Rishonim, a third definition, an earlier one, or the earliest one, relating to the status of the Gabra, Chayiv or Zakai, as opposed to the theoretical Chiyuv, Chayiv Atalitain, and the practical Tzivui to implement the Bitzua Hadin, Tzei Teino. So that further confuses everything. And again, the question is that Gemara about really about Gemar Din, or is it about the Shlav, the stage before Gemar Din? The Baalei Tosfos generally think that it's about the stage before the Gemar Din. Even then, there's a machlokus within Tosfosin whether or not Chayev Ploni HaTzakai Ploni HaTchayev is the stage before, which would solve the problem, and that's the view of Tosfosin Bava Kamma at least. Or on the contrary, Tosfosin Sanhedrin Ploni HaTzakai Ploni HaTchayev is Gemar Din, but what we the halacha that we say regarding Kshara is the stage before Ploni HaTzakai Ploni Atochai. So that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Then we have the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Yud Zayin, where the Gemara is mechalek between Chayev Atalitain again and Seitain, parallels our Gemara, with regard to the question of Ishtamute Kamishtamit, what will happen if a Psak Din is rendered and then the guy lies and claims that he was Porea and you bring Adim to prove that that it's not so? Will we say Huchsa Kafran and we don't believe him ever again or not? So the answer is, if there is Chayev Atalitain, so then the halacha is that we accept Ishtamute Kamishtamet. I mean, even if he lies and we prove he lies, we might believe him another day because of Ishtamute Kamishtamet. But once it's Tzeitainlo, then there's no longer an excuse of Ishtamute Kamishtamet. And of course, that's very fascinating because we know of Ishtamute Kamishtamet in other contexts. It has a more clear-cut meaning, namely the difference between the Kofra Pikadon and Kofra B'milva. That's very understandable. Namely, the Pikadon is in your Rishus. If you're lying about it, then obviously you're a thief. If you're lying about a Milva, it doesn't mean you're a thief. It just may mean you're a bad businessman and you also don't have a strong... you're not a good person. You're not strong in your honesty or in your conviction because you are lying, but you're lying because of pressures, not because you're a thief. Right? You just can't get your hands on the money. Capital is tight. And that's what Ishtamute Kamishtamet is about. So there, the difference between Pikadon and Milva is obvious. The difference between Tzeitainlo and Chayva Talitainlo in terms of Ishtamute Kamishtamet is much less obvious in the sense that, you know, capital could still be tight and you can't get your hands on the money that that you owe. So what difference does it make whether Chayva Talitain was pronounced or Tzeitain? We understand the urgency is greater. But all I'm saying is the Gemara's distinction in terms of Ishtamute there is much more challenging to understand than it is in Bava Metzia when we talk about Psul Eidos. So that's the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Then we have the Sugya in Zeborer. Sugya in Zeborer is about Kiblai Abba, Kiblai Avicha, Kiblai Gimel Roy Bakar. What happens if you want to accept Krovim and Psulim in the context of Eidos and Dayanus? So there the Gemara says that, you know, if you are mischayev to such a course of action, is it binding or not, or can you get out of it? Can you change your mind in terms of that commitment? So one of the distinctions is Kinyan and not Kinyan. Another distinction is Gemar Din and Lifnei Gemar Din and La'achar Gemar Din. However, that might be a completely different sugya. Noah correctly pointed out after the shiur, and that's absolutely correct. That is, it depends very much on how you understand the what's going on in the sugya of Kiblo Alai. Is Kiblo Alai, discuss this, we learned Sanhedrin a few years ago, at length, is Kiblo Alai an effort to be Machshir, Dayanim, and Edim, who otherwise would be Psulim, and... might be based on the same idea that I tried to use to explain the issue of Pshara and Din, and that is that, you know, there might be certain objective rules of Eidos and Dayanus, and those rules are very, very important, and we low-plug those rules in order to safeguard the system. However, when we have the luxury of dealing with a particular case, and we can waive some of those concerns, so then maybe we could be Machshir, what otherwise would be Edim Psulim or Dayanim. So is that what's going on in that sugya? Or is it pure hischaivos, which basically means the exact opposite? In other words, a dayan pasul or an eid pasul is a dayan pasul and an eid pasul. And all the kiblo lies in the world cannot change that because if you want to operate with some real form of din, not, you know, whether it's personal or objective, the fact is you're still dealing with dayanim psulim and edim psulim. And therefore the whole idea of kiblu alai is really about hischaivos to the conclusion rather than it is fashioning your own personal bezdin. In which case, if you take either of these extremes, so one could have argued that the definition of gemar din here is has nothing to do with the rest of Torah. If we're talking about being machshir, you know, setting up a personal bezdin, one could say, well, maybe even at an earlier stage, it's too late to retract because we've already been machshir. We've already established this personal bezdin. We've already established that the lo plug rules don't apply here. If you go on the other extreme, you say this is not, it's not a din Torah at all. Basically, it's a tanai that I've set up that basically says if it rains tomorrow, or if I stand on my head, or if I do magic tricks, I'll give you $100. Instead of saying that, I said if the phony dayan and the imposter edim, you know, say X, Y, and Z, so I'll give you $100. Right? So that's basically what it is. So that's ischaibus. Can't really talk about a gemar din because there's no din Torah. Right? If it's something in between those, namely it really is a kind of alternative form of din itself, and the focus isn't so much on the hechsher of the people, but on the, you know, there is, you've set up this alternative to basically, you know, almost like Pshara and Din. You have a personal Din Torah and a personal Bezdin, and you have the Lo Plug Halachic Bezdin. And the question is, how far have you gone, you know, with one before you can, you know, legitimately still retract or switch or, you know, revert to the regular system? If that's the case, then it is a lot closer, maybe it really is, the actual Din of Gemar Din. So the fact that that's, now again, the Sugya calls it Gemar Din. So if it's talking about a facsimile thereof, something that looks like a gemar din but isn't, or if it means something different, then you're going to get a different definition. Yeah.
I noticed the Caleb on the Rambam. I assume it's the same sugya.
Yeah, I mean, well, the assumption that it's the same sugya is, you know, it's not difficult to project. I mean, the gemar calls it gemar din. The gemar says before and after gemar din. We're just pointing out that so that also Caleb and the Rambam have a hard time because, you know, I mean, it's interesting that you point that out. The Rambam is the problem. The Rambam seems to say that you need, in that case, Gemar Din and Bitsua Din. So no one in any other sugya says that Bitsua Din is part of the definition of Gemar Din. It's certainly not the Rambam. Again, the Rambam's psakim in these matters are known to us. You know, Nisi, Sefer Venechazi. The Rambam in Perek Chavbeis, Hilchos Sanhedrin, when he talks about Pshara, Rambam quotes Ploni HaTazakai, Ploni HaTachayim. You know, when it comes to in Perek Zayin, Ochos Toin V'Nitan, when it comes to the Sugin Bamitzia Yud Zayin, Rambam says, say Teinlo. Right? When it comes to Tzvicha Mechira, say Teinlo. When it comes to Amida, which we'll get to in a second, which Ephraim brought up the other day, the Rambam paskins Ploni HaTazakai, Ploni HaTachayim. That's in Perek Chavalef. Of Hilchos Sanhedrin. In Perek Zayin Hilchos Sanhedrin, when it comes to the question of Kiblu Alai, all of a sudden the Rambam has this formulation. Did I bring the Rambam? Yeah. The Rambam has this formulation of Bitsua. What is it? Perek Zayin? Halakha Beis, right? What? Yeah. Misha Kiblu Al Karva Apostle Ben Yosa Dain Ben Yosa Aid. And then he says, So the one hand, Ram says, and then he says, so that's the question. Why all of a sudden? So the Nebuke Yosef and some of the notes that Caleb say, the Ram didn't mean it. He just meant Nigmar Din. The Vahotzi basically is, you know, what will be the result of the Nigmar Hadin. But certainly this is a problem, and there are others who read the Rambam Kipshuto, that it is Nigmar Hadin Vahotzi. And, right, the question they have is because they're assuming that it should just be Nigmar Din because the Gemara says it, which is totally reasonable. But it's possible that what the Rambam is signaling here is, the Rambam talks about Nigmar Din because the Gemara does, but the Rambam is signaling that he thinks that it's a different halacha. Okay, so that's another sugya to consider. Then we have the sugya that Ephraim brought up, which is the Gemara in Shavuos, Taf Lamed Abed Aleph, what I call the Goose Gemara, where the... do I have it yet? Where the Gemara does say, you're absolutely right, Ploni Atazakai, Ploni Atachayev, when the Gemara speaks about standing, the Bali Dinim standing at the time of the Gemara Din. The Gemara here in Lamed Amadeis talks about the requirement of Amida, Amdushne Anoshim Bedin, the Eidim. Then the Gemara says, Rav Huna says, Machlokas B'shas Maso Matan, or B'shas Gemara Din, Divrei HaKol Dayanim B'Yeshiva, Bali Dinim B'Amida. So what does Bishas Gemar Din mean? So the Gemara itself doesn't say originally. Then later on, according to our Girsa anyway, then later on the Gemara tells this story about Amalei Lusha Eishas, here, what happened was, Debisid Rav Huna Havalei Dina Kamid Rav Nachman, Amar Hechin Eved, I Eikum Mikama, if I show her covered and I, the Dayan stand up, Mistatman Tanase de Baldina. The other Baldin will be intimidated, thinking I'm showing favoritism. Lo Eikum Mikama, Eishes Chavar Rei Kechaver. Right? So the Gemara says, Amar Lei L'shamei, Tzei Ve'efrach Alay Bar Avza, you know, we have this goose, you know, jump or fly in front of me, V'shadi Lavai, V'eikom, and then I'll get up like, you know, Ke'ilu, that I'm, you know, shocked at the presence of the goose. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Amar Mar Machlokas B'shas Maso Matan O B'shas Gemar Din Dibir HaKol Dayana B'Shiva Bali Din Ma'amida. So the Gemara says, the Yosef command the Shari, he sees like tying his shoelaces. He's bending over. But Amar Ish Ploni Atazakai, Ish Ploni, this is what Jonathan pointed out, that Ish Ploni Atazakai, Ish Ploni Atachai is part of the story, and that establishes that Amida Linyan Gemar Din is Ish Ploni Atazakai, Ish Ploni Atachai. Actually, if you look in the Rabbeinu Chananel, Rabbeinu Chananel says it much more forcefully, because if you only had the story, you could say, all right, that's the story, or maybe it's not that, maybe you have to stand for both parts of the Gemar Din. The Rabbeinu Chananel actually has the Girsa in the Gemara, Al B'Shas Gemar Din Dever HaKol B'Amida, the Dayan B'Yeshiva, and then the next Gemara says, Emas Hu Gemar Din, in the Boy Dayan Elameimar, Ish Ploni Atazakai, Ish Ploni Atachayim. So actually, Rabbeinu Chananel, either based on a Girsa or reading the Gemara, says, and what is the definition of Gemar Din, Inyan Dover Zeh, Ish Ploni Atazakai, and that actually is what the Rambam says. The Rambam is obviously operating with the assumption of Rabbeinu Chananel, because the Rambam also says, also defines this halacha, again, here in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Chav Beis, not Perek Chav Aleph, I'm sorry. Perek Chav Aleph, Halacha, Gimel. Lo ye echad yoshev echad omid al shneim omdim mirotzi bezin la hoshev es shneim moshivim. Lo yeshev echad lamala vechad amata b'med ramur b'shas maso matan b'din. Al b'shas gemar din hakol b'amida shenemar v'yamud ha'am al Moshe v'ezahu gemar din ish ploni ata chayiv ish ploni ata zaka. Okay. So that's, obviously the Rambam is operating with Rabbeinu Chananel. If you look at the tour, he also has Ish Ploni Atazakai. Noah had mentioned something to me about there being in Chiluke Deos, and I looked it up, but I didn't find it. So I don't think it exists. Okay. The only, I think there is an interesting question, and that is whether the sugya is relevant to us at all or not, like some of the other sugyas. Why not? And why yes? Why not? Because, number one, it sounds like it's a din of kavod, primarily. Moreover, the Gemara says that the Edom themselves stand, right? If the Edom already stand when they give their testimony, the significance of the Baal Edinim standing at Gemar Din may be undercut somewhat. There is a question also the Machlokas HaRishonim, whether or not the Baal Edinim have to stand B'Shas Kabbalas Edos, right? That's what we were discussing a little bit. That's a Machlokas HaRishonim. If the Edim have to stand and the Balidinim have to stand at the time of Kabbalah Seidus, then the significance of Gemar Din, standing B'Gemar Din, is lessened in the sense that it just may be that any critical moment, which is not part of the maso matan, but part of the formal proceedings of the din Torah, requires, you know, that there be amida. That would be, you know, presumably that could not, that could be ish ploniat zaka, ish ploniat chayiv, or more. It doesn't have to be limited to ish ploniat. It isn't by virtue of the fact that it's also Kabbalah Seidus and the Eidim themselves and so on. What is interesting, though, I was looking, you know, for these other makaros, I didn't find them, but I looked at the tour. No, it's good. It's the serendipity of it. Is I saw the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef has just one line, which, if you're not looking for it, you wouldn't appreciate. You saw it? No, the Sanhedrin. Yeah, exactly. Excellent. So you were looking for the makaros too. Okay. So the Beis Yosef has that line, which is very interesting. Meaning the Beis Yosef was assuming that the halacha of ploni atazakai, ploni atachayiv, and I think, you know, the support for it is, and this, you know, this is where you have to be a Beis Yosef to, I think these are the only two gemaras that say ploni atachayiv, ploni atazakai. Right, all the other gemaras have tzeitein lo, chayiv atalitein. There are only two gemaras, as far as I know, that say ploni atazakai, ploni atachayiv, and they are Sanhedrin Davav, and this gemara in Shavuos, Daf Lamed Amid Beis. But especially with the Girsa of Rabbeinu Hananel and the clearly the Rambam walking in those footsteps, it sounds like it is a more formal requirement of a Gemara, like Ezehu Gemar Din, Emosai Gemar Din. So the Beis Yosef associates the same reason, in other words, that it's too late. Bishas. Now again, you could still say, oh, because you've moved into a formal rather than an informal stage in the Din Torah. Very possible. But by associating the two, the Beis Yosef definitely upgrades the significance of ploni atazakai, ploni atachayev in the context, in Simon Yud Zayin, by the way, I should have mentioned, this is in Simon Yud Zayin in Shulchan Aruch, in Chosh Mishpat, of this halach. So the Rach, the Rambam, the Beis Yosef, may really point in this direction as well, that ploni atazakai, ploni atachayev is the din in Gemar Din, in the Dovers. And then we just have to wonder if it's to exclude, say, Tain, or Chayev Atalitain, so why is that exactly? And we'll get back to that in a minute, see if it fits into the pattern. Yeah.
Is it significant that in the Rambam, the line before that one, he says that they, in the Shaktik, after they have the
Masamatam,
then they have the Gorm Mesedin, and then they deliver the testimony? And then they deliver the verdict?
Hold on a second. Aved v'amamrim shas matzo bat medin ol v'shas gemar din akob amida ve'ezahu gemar din v'amed v'amamrim bebali dinim. I'm not sure what I mean. You talking about the one in Chaf Aleph?
I'm sorry, no. Sorry, it's the Chaf Beis. I'm sorry. Yeah.
The Chaf Beis is Pshara. The Chaf Beis and the Rambam is Pshara.
Right, where everyone needs the room, and then the Gomer's din.
Chaf Beis is where the Rambam talks about the din of Avalacha Shogamar Adin VaAmar Ish Ploni Atachay Vish Ploni Atazakai Ein Rashoi Lasas Pshar V'Neim Aliyikov Adin Sahar. That's Perek Chaf. This is Perek Chaf Beis Halacha Dalid is Pshara. Perek Chaf Aleph Halacha Gimel is Amida. I'm not sure which one. Halacha Tesav. Chaf Beis Tes. Kachay Minhagim Shalayim Shal Yerushalayim. Oh, okay. Maknisim balidim v'shom v'devrei matanosei maknisim edim v'shom v'devrei motzim kaladim l'chutz nosim v'dayana v'nosnim v'gomri misadavar. Is what you mean?
Yeah.
Gomri misadavar here, okay, well. V'achar kach maknisim balidinim v'gadol shebedayana mamar ish ploni atazaka ish ploni atachayim k'dei shela yeda chami balidinim eza dayan u'shazika v'eza dayan u'shachiva. I mean, what is the gomri misadavar before? Well, it either means practically, I mean, they concluded, or as we'll see in a second, in some cases, maybe there's another, an earlier Gemar Din connected to Masamata. We'll speak about that in just a minute.
Okay.
So, well, but you're right. I mean, that's Gomrim Esadavar. It doesn't say Gomrim even Esadin. It means that they have the Masamatan, right? Nosim Minosim Adayon Minosim Beneim. I mean, they're just having a discussion, right? They're you know, hashing out all of the halachos and the details to figure out what should be the psak. And then they make, and obviously they have to come to some sort of consensus, but, or else how do they know whether they don't just start, you know, it's not, you know, nevua that all of a sudden they haven't, you know, figured out beneim anything, and then they all happen to say, ish ploni atazaka, ish ploni atachai. They have to, gomri misadavar beneim. Simple pshat is just gomri misadavar, meaning they conclude matters unofficially themselves. In light of the Rambam, which we'll discuss in a minute, you know, which is that maybe there's also a vote, like a formal or, you know, close to formal vote at that point, it might mean that as well. We'll get to that. Yeah.
The Rambam in Hilchos Shmita Parakes also brings down together Ish Plunia Tzaka, Ish Plunia Tchayo, which regards being considered Kigavoy.
In Shmita's Ksafim?
Yeah.
I don't have it here. Again, to be considered means it won't be for to the principal issues.
Yeah.
That once you say Ploni Atazaka, Ploni Atachayev, it's Kegavoy, he says? Kegavoy. Okay, I have to look at it. Okay, that's a good Mar Makom. That would be a little bit of a problem in terms of what I'm going to suggest, but I'll have to look at the Lasha. Okay, so basically what we've seen is, so basically there are a number of sugyas, and then Ephraim suggested that we should also look at Horios, which we will in a minute. But it's a little bit of a different sugya, but I'll discuss it anyway for a few minutes. There, the Gemara has a discussion. Excuse me. With regard to the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, the Gemara wants to know. One second. Okay. The Gemara wants to know. I thought it was something I had to announce. The Gemara wants to know with regard to Parah and Davar Shel Tzibur, where you need a Horos Bezdin, which affects a Rov Klal Yisrael, and they Bezdin and Paskins that something is Mutter, and Rov Klal Yisrael acts on that basis. Turns out that it was a Tos, so instead of every individual member bringing a Korban, so Klal Yisrael brings a single Korban or 12 Korbanos called Shevet. We won't go into details of it, but that's the idea of Parah and Davar Shel Tzibur. So in order to qualify for a hora, which misleads or leads people astray, Bezin has to say mutarim atem, or do they have to say even more, mutarim atem lasos? They have to add the words lasos. Okay. So that's an interesting question. That's a little bit different from the cases we're dealing with here. Generally, we're not talking about a specific din Torah, where, you know, a specific amount of money is or consequences on the table, but a more general hora given by Bez Nagadol to a certain, you know, concept. And yet, there's an interesting argument in the Gemara there, whether or not I guess the truth is that neither option is really theoretical. The question is, how practical, active do you have to be? Is it enough to say mutarim atem? It's mutter, but even then, you're not just saying it's mutter, but mutar matem. You're also telling the people that it's mutter for you. That seems to be the minimal requirement. Or do you have to say mutar matem lasos? Namely, do you have to underscore the practical conclusion of that? In the sense that, you know, that seems a little similar to the problem of tzei tain as opposed to chayev atalitain, meaning one being more hypothetical and the other being really more the bitsua itself. It seems like there's a parallel there. And the Rashash actually agrees with Ephraim in that respect. The Rashash in Horios, on Dav Beis, says that the requirement of Chai of Mutarim Atem Laasos is connected to our Gemara here in Bava Kama, Dav Samech Chesom Beis, where the Gemara says that Chai Vataliten is not enough, but you require say tain. Obviously the Rashash at least was assuming that this is a similar problem, namely how theoretical, how abstract as opposed to practical you need to be in the general definition of Hora. Let's see if I can find a line here. This is the Rashash and the Beis in Horios. If somebody can find it before me, they can save us a minute. Oh, okay, I've got it already. This is on Beis Amud Aleph. At Shomer Le Mutar Matem Lasos, my Taima, Pishalo Nigmara Hora, that's the Gemara. I'll speak about the Gemara in a minute. Vechenu Maskana de Mutar Matem Lechud Lo Mikri Gemara Hora, the Nirali de Mikan Yotze Lo Lerava, Bavava Kama, the Chayiv Atalitin Le Lohave Gemara Din At Shomer Tse Tainlo. That's the Rashash. So the Rashash thought that the Sugin Horios really is connected to this broader question of how you define a Gemar Din. Personally, I think that maybe it's not, and I'll explain why. I already explained a little bit why in a minute ago, but I'll explain why more fully in just another couple of minutes. Okay, so basically this is the evidence that we have. a bunch of sugyas and several definitions of Gemara. So what we've seen so far is that several approaches can be taken here. One is that there's really one concept of Gemar Din, and maybe all the halachos really depend on that single concept of Gemar Din, except that even then, the question is which one would it be, the earlier one or the later one? That's a machlokas. And that's the Rajba. Again, I looked at the Rajba. I think Eitan was asking about the Rajba. I think the Rajba is what we said. Maybe the Rajba asks a stira between the Sugya and Sanhedrin and our Sugya and Bava Kamma, the first answer of the Rajba, in other words. And the Rajba basically says, yeah, there's no stira at all. Say tain lo. He doesn't say these words, but this is implicit. Say tain lo, and Ploni atazakai, Ploni atachayiv are the same. And the only problem is chayiv atalite. Now, the assumption of the question was that we were associating chayiv. The question is, why is chayiv atalite no good here in Bava Kamma, and it is good in Sanhedrin? The answer is, what's good in Sanhedrin is not chayiv atalite, but Ploni atazakai. One would have thought that Chayiv HaTaliten is either the same or even superior because it's a later stage than Ploni HaTazakai, but the Rajba saying is no, it isn't, and therefore there's no stira at all. There's only one Gemar Din. That Gemar Din is what? Say Tein Lo equals Ploni HaTazakai. But here what we do find, and this is, I say, this is a Rajba, that's what the Sma says in Choshen Mishpat, that's what the Rosh says in Shittim Kubet, says in Bavmetzia. Basically, there are two versions of this. One is that what's Koveya is Ploni HaTazakai, Ploni HaTachayiv, the earlier one. The Shach argues on this. The Shach has a slightly different twist on all of this. Instead of saying, oh, it's all one sugya, and we just mean to exclude Chayiv HaTalitein, the Shach says, no, there's a machlokas sugyas, whether or not it's Tzeitain or it's Ploni HaTazakai. It's Machlokas in different sugyas, that's why you have different evidence. But we paskin that it's Tzeitain, therefore it's Tzeitain everywhere. The common denominator of these two approaches is that there's only one Gemar Din, although there's an important debate which one it is. Is it the later and more pragmatic one, even implementing one, or the earlier, more abstract one? But either way, there's only one Gemar Din, and all of the dinim depend on that one Gemar Din. Even Pshara and Kiblu Alai, which seem, let's say in the Rambam, to be most opposite, one in which Seitain isn't even enough, you also require an actual Bitsua, the other which Chayiv HaTalitein, Ploni HaTazakai, Ploni HaTachayiv is sufficient. Even that, according to the Shulchan Aruch, is one din. According to the Shach, all Seitain. According to the Sma, all Ploni HaTazakai. That's one approach. Second approach that we saw is, there is one definition of Gemar Din, but it's not true that all the sugyas depend on that single definition. Some Gemaras are talking about pre-Gemar Din, and some Gemaras are talking about post-Gemar Din. But there's only one Gemar Din. Okay, and that too has different formulations. Again, Tosas here in Bava Kamma, Seitein Lo is the definition of Gemar Din. Anything that comes before it is a pre-Gemar Din. Pshara's pre-Gemar Din because of Ta'us. Chazor Karen Labailim is apparently pre-Gemar Din, which wouldn't surprise us so terribly if it applied even to, right, Biasa Edim. Right? It just means at that point you can no longer undo the whole situation. So saying that Chazor Karen Labailim is a pre-Gemar Din halacha isn't so terrible, especially in light of the view of Edim. So that's one approach. The other approach is that the opposite is true. And that's the Rama in Sanhedrin. The Raibin here, the Ritva and Bav Metzia, the definition of Gemar Din is Ploni HaTachayiv Dafka. Okay. And if that's true, that's Koveya Legabe Pshara, that's Koveya, that's the equivalent, they assume, of Ploni HaTazakai, Ploni HaTachayiv, that's Koveya for Pshara, that's Koveya for Chazor Karen Levailim. The only thing is that Tvicha Umechira Nishtamute Kamishtameit, that depends on either smichus das or other such factors, right? The Raivin mentions that it has to turn into a pikadon, so that's a post Gemar Din halacha. So within the camp that there is one definition of Gemar Din, but not all the sugyas are the same, we also have two opposite shitos: the one that says that Gemar Din is the earlier, and the exceptions in the Gemara are post Gemar Din, and the one that says that it's the later, and the exceptions are pre Gemar Din. Yeah.
But the Shach, is he saying it's Machlokas Suyas, or is he saying every time he says a Tachayev, it really means Tzeitain?
I thought in one of the places he said that it was Machlokas Suyas. Again, I can look again, but I thought in Simon Chavei somebody said it was Machlokas Suyas. It doesn't matter so much for our analysis, but I think he says it's Machlokas Suyas.
And for the Ramah, is the Ramah saying that a Tachayev is the Gemara Din, or is he saying that super relative for different places, it's all depends on location?
I thought he was saying that Pshara depends on actual Gemar Din. And do we have the language of the Ramah here? I checked it again last night. It seemed pretty clear to me that he was saying that, you know, Pshara depends on Gemar Din, and that's Poni Atazakai or Chayva Talitain, as you will. The Yad Ramah. Yad Ramah. In Sanhedrin. I thought that was very clear.
It sounds like he's saying that for some things like Pshara, it's Chayva.
I don't think that he was saying for some things Gemar Din is different. I think he was saying Gemar Din is Poni Atazakai, but some dinim, you know, Gemar Din isn't enough because it depends on something like Ishtamute and those kind of issues. Okay. If you look at Rabbeinu Peretz and Bava Kamma, I think we discussed that Smichus Das issue as well. Okay. What we were up to then is the final idea, and that is that there really are two concepts of Gemar Din. That's what we were discussing. So I think this works very well for Tosfos and Sanhedrin. Because Tosfos Sanhedrin says Poni Atazakai, Poni Atachayev is the Gemar Din. Just the Pshara is even a stage before that. And yet, what do you do with the Sugya in Bava Kamma? Right? I think it works better in Bava Kamma itself. Let's say if Chazer Karen Levailim is called Hamada B'din. I think it works really, really well. In the Rambam, mostly. Again, I'd have to look at Hilchos Shemitah now, which I didn't see, but I think generally it works well in the Rambam. The Rambam does speak about Gemar Din in these contexts, and yet he is pretty faithful to the sugyas. Right? Again, in Amida and in Pshara, it's Ploni Atazakai, but in Bar Metzia, it's Tzeitein. There's no Machlokas HaSugyas there. You can't say what the Rambam said. And in Zemborer, we know, you know, it may be even later than that. Moreover, there are other Rishonim who make Chilukim for whom this will work out well. Number one, Tosas in Bava Kamma, Daf Ayin, Beis of an Aleph. It's a little bit of a complicated Gemara. What's going on in that Gemara there, Avi? Did you see it? An Ayin, Beis of an Aleph with the big Tosas? Joe, you saw it? Elichai? No one saw the Gemara in Ayin, Beis of the Tosas? It was definitely in the Mar Makobos, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Ari? What?
I didn't see it.
I thought everybody was already in Chatzi Davar. Or Chatzi in Chatzi Davar, at least. Right? Dovi, you saw it? What? Yeah, good. For what's the problem? Again, the Gemara Baba Kama says as follows. It's another one of those tricky Gemaras, right? What does the Gemara say in the Bava Kamma? If we're going to get to it anyway, you might as well just read it now. We're almost there. Right, the Gemara, the Mishnah says what?
The Mishnah
says. No. That part we'll get to in a second. The Mishnah says, "Gadav Mishal Aviv, the Tavach Machar V'Achach Meis Aviv." So what happened? He stole from his father. Okay, not a very reputable thing to do, right? I mean, he just sort of come to his father, you know, and then said, I need, my cafeteria card is low, and I need some money, right?
Unless it's like the
secret
casino
keys. What?
Unless it's like the
secret casino keys,
from the beginning of the year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, I hear. Ganav shalav v'tavach machav. So he stole from his father, and then when it comes to tzvicha mechira, it still belongs to the father, and then the father dies.
Right.
So what's the problem? What is the issue there?
The Gemara's issue is about the Mechira.
So now, if you look at the Gemara 9 Amal from the base, just read it very quickly.
Right, the Gemara says,
Meaning what? What's the issue here? If you steal from two shutvim,
be chayav dal dehe, you have to be chayav dal dehe shlemos, or if you have tour for some reason because you was hired or got out of.
Well, in this case, it's moda b'knas, right? If you got out of half the chiyuv through moda b'knas, and in a minute we'll find out if you're.
Right.
So, if there's no chiyuv tashlumin of arba b'chamisha, but only of chatzi, does that disturb the chiyuv or not? Interesting question. Correct. Okay. So, amarle. So the Gemara says.
The Gemara says amarle.
Chamisha bakar rachmana v'lo chamisha chatzai bakar. Meaning, you do have to have the full amount. Okay. Which, by the way, doesn't it makes says, tells us what?
Tells us that it's a dinner paying shleimos, that replacement more than a.
Maybe right, and basically it has nothing to do. Very good, but I think you're absolutely right. It has nothing to do with tzvicha mechira the mechayev.
Right.
But tzvicha mechira is the mechayev, you know, was done already.
Right.
Was done when there would have been a chiyuv. Gomor of Dalad Behei. So if you say this halacha, this goes back on our Dalad Behei list. If you say the halacha below Chamisha Chatzai Bakar, what you're saying is two things. Number one, that the Mechayiv is of Dalad Behei is definitely still alive and well after the Tzvicha Umechira. That's number one. And number two, that these numbers are very, very important as part of the replication of the Be'en idea. Okay. Very, very important. Good. Then the Gemara says, Eisve.
You
stole from the father. You did a tzvicha
mechira.
Since the Misa takes place before the Tashlumin, so it's chamit, the equivalent of Chamisha Chatzai Bakar. Vahacha, Kibin the Beis Aviv. Right, the truth is, one could have perhaps argued on that point, right? That name of the equation between the practical Meis Aviv, that he himself is one of the Bailam, therefore he doesn't have to reach in one pocket and put it in another.
And,
yeah, exactly. So maybe when we get to the line, maybe we'll speak about more fully. But I mean, here's the Gemara is making a big assumption. Maybe the big assumption has to do with Hodas, Moda B'Knas not being so much of a poter as much as it is a Ptur Tashlumin, or. The Gemara just thinks that Chamisha Chatzai Bakar is so pragmatic that it doesn't really matter that there is this discrepancy. Exactly. It's the Kiyum HaTashlumin that's more important. Go ahead.
Since
he was Amad
Bedin with his
Aviv,
so there's already a
Chiyum
to his Aviv, and that takes care of the problem.
Oh.
That's Amad. Because there, before you even did the tefillah, half of it was already yours.
Right.
So if you look at the day, but after a move, Kishalad did, Avalo Avad did, Eno Mashad, Tashomer Avad Kamisha.
Right. If this is really true,
Avalo Yachinami, it should have. I did thus a gracious God, we shall have a Tama Kuma. Rabbi Akak, we shall have a Tama Kuma. Rabbi Akak, we shall have a Tama Kuma.
Okay, so that's before, that's when he hadn't had his breakfast yet.
Right.
Okay? So,
So
far he's arguing that there is such a halakha as Chatzi, as. Yeah, and it depends on Hamad Abedin.
Right.
Okay. So then Lotzafra, the next morning when he woke up, okay, which doesn't, by the way, preclude any of the conclusions that we mentioned before, because it's still a pretty extreme case, right? It's only about how much you actually technically pay, but the chiyuv really was arba v'chamisha. So even if the things we said before about, you know, post tvicha mechira being significant and replicating the amount being important, that can still be true. Yeah, it's only right in the other direction. Go ahead. Hi, the lamer lach b'orta. Oh, he didn't have a good meal. Okay, so well, go ahead. Room with three more lines. Got Ella Maishna.
Why is it different for a wife you inherited before you do the tzvicha? Why are you then you tafel? Because the tzvicha itself has to be kula b'isur.
Right. Okay, so that's the Gemara. This is, of course, the Raya. Whenever the Rebbe calls on you and, like, it's his fault that you didn't have lunch, so you can always say,
only
listen,
point to tell us.
What?
Only point to tell us.
Okay, correct. Well, Tosas Shari B'taimus.
Right. Rashi,
I mean, otherwise it's the quality of the meal.
Rashi says,
no, I don't know. I know. I'm not so sure that's what Rashi means.
I thought
that's he's explaining. Lo dikdakti tamas shel davar.
Because he didn't.
But I thought it may have to do with the men. Not shari b'tainus, but he just didn't eat the right food. I was looking from a nutritionist point of view. Okay, but that's a different
story.
What?
The Rusha says
there. Who says that?
The Rusha Feinstein. It was Moshe. He says
what I just said about the nutrition?
He says it depends on what person is used to eating. A person like Nachman has to be a seal, he's probably used to eating real beef every day, so therefore it could be a chisaron
protein
if he doesn't have it.
Right.
A person is accustomed to eating less, so he doesn't have it.
Okay, so he's learning it the way I did. Not sure the tinus, but the quality of the nutrition. Okay, so we can be Tola be'ilan, even Tosa might say that. Well, Tosa doesn't, okay, that's hard to say, because Tosa says. Okay. Anyways, good. Good. The main point is that the Gemara here says that Hamad Abedin is Koveya with regard to Kamisha Chatzai Bakar. So now Tosas asks a question. Because according to the Maskana, it seems like we don't care about Hamad Abedin, but if we don't care about Hamad Abedin, then how is he Yoresh this Knas? After all, Ena Damorish Knas, the very important Tosas. Tosas says, forget about the Dal of the Hay issue. Even if you were to focus on Kefel, if there was no Hamad Abedin in this case, how could he be Morish Kefel? How could he have a stake in the Kefel?
Right.
After all, Ainan Amorish Knas Lebanav, and the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in Ksuvis, in third Perek, that the only way that you can be Morish Knas Lebanav is Achar Hamad Abedin. The Hamad Abedin took place when the father was alive. So if you need Hamad Abedin in order for there to be a Knas to talk about, so how could the Gemara say that we were talking about a case that the Chamisha Chatzai Bakar depends on Hamad Abedin? Only according to the Mandamar, Chamisha Chatzai Bakar, either way you need Hamad Abedin in this case where the father was alive in order to have Morish Knas Labana. That's Tosas's question. Correct? Let's read it just very quickly. The Tomar. Mashma Vokeful Mechayiv. Probably most people did the first Tosas, which is why we had so much discussion before. They didn't realize which Tosas that I meant, so they did the Ramasal Dalachli Bisra Vidura. Yeah, go ahead. And that's against the sugya in Ksuvas. So there are several answers given in this Tosas. So when we get to it, we'll speak about the other answers. Obviously, this is very, very relevant to a big topic that we discussed, namely, to what extent knossos are created by Bezdin. At that time, I think I even threw out that there's another issue, and that is the Gishur Morish Knas Labanov, which may relate not so much to the question whether, also to the question, but even beyond the question of whether knas exists before Hamad Abedin, also whether or not the chalos of knas, as opposed to mamon, is something that depends on Hamad Abedin, which might be what's Nitan LeYerusha, maybe depend on that issue. But that's what Tosas is discussing. Okay, now let's skip to the Od Nira
L'Ri. Right. Ri's answer. The Rav of Nachman, the Hapa, lo pliga, simi the Rav of the Babai, the Kartanaya. The Mayri Hapa, kula vas nis, kisha Hamad Abedin, the Amru le, chai va talitin la.
Oh.
The Chiyai Gavna, Adam Borat, Klas Labana,
you can't make that chila.
The Chidusei Yachal Ashmi Enu, Alba Meis Aviv, the Akar Kaf Tavash. By the time of the mitzvah of the sefer.
Baruch Shapir, the liflug listener of the day.
The same Baruch Shapir, the liflug listening of the day. Remember, we're going to be Shabbat. The Amalot, say Kemo.
Ah.
I'm low with this. Here's so Amalot, say Kemo. I'm a high about to leave the top of the mark. The Akhar, we saw it, Potter. We have low head outside Bakar.
So what's he saying? What's Tosa saying? Something pretty profound,
Tosa
right?
Tosa is saying that in terms of other more class mother,
that depends on
Chayvat Lichinol, that's the real meaning of the din.
But the halacha of Chamisha Chatzai Bakar, that depends on the
Hamad.
Okay, that's the Gemara. Now one more line.
Right.
That's the where the
right.
Go ahead.
Right.
Uktas nira dochek.
Uktas nira dochek.
So two lines down from there. Go ahead.
Uktas nira dochek. There is that. They after they make
the moelas.
Moelas hamad the din the chayv atalidin lo the inyan shekashem kiel zaka shiachol haharish lebana him kech gam liin zeh tol shiachol kiel nitzchayov the avin hey bakar
shleimim
shvikach ha'av u'mishavishchayov
l'shalem la'achim. Oh, stop. So basically, what is Tosas asking? How can you straddle the fence in this way? This is a, you know, too nuanced answer. What do you mean? It's Hamada Bedin from Orish Adam from Adam Orish Knas Lebanav is Chayv Atalite Lo, but when it comes to Chamisha Chatzai Bakar, then Hamada Bedin depends on Seitein Lo? Mimanashach. Hamada Bedin is one or the other, and whatever it is, it should apply to both, in which case we were in the same pickle that we were in before.
Post all that considered over here because both things should be found the same thing. Why not Yom Tikkas yet?
Say again?
Both of these dinim should be found. Why not the bed has been the cattle of the class?
Okay, good. So that's the question. So that the Tosas's answer and then Tosas's subsequent question really highlights the problem. It seems like, again, in this Tosas, that there are two concepts of Hamada Bedin, the first day of Tosas. And one is Koveya for Adam Orish Knas Lebanav. The other is Koveya for the halacha of Chamish Chatzai Bakar, both of which are called Hamada Bedin. One is the Hamada Bedin of Masechet Ksuvos, Perek Eilu Nairos. That turns out to be Chayv Atalitein with regard to this halacha. The other is the Hamada Bedin of Ar Gemara, right in Ayin Aleph Amid Beis, with regard to Chamish Chatzai Bakar. That is Tzei Teinlo. And that's what Tosa says very, very legitimately. What's going on here? You can't, you know, have your cake and eat it too. You have to define Hamada Bedin in one way or the other. If Hamada Bedin is Tzei Teinlo, that's in the problem. Then you have a problem of Morish Knas Lebana. If Hamada Bedin is Chayv Atalit Teinlo, then already it should be no longer a problem, no further problem of Chamisha Chatzai Bakar. But you can't have both. How can you have both? Okay. But the truth is that our Gemara in Bava Kamma, Samaches Amid Beis, depending on how you learn it, also has both. Right, the Gemara there also said there were two candidates, and it ends up that there are two candidates, one for Chazar Karen Lebailim and the other for Tzvicha Mechira going forward. And according to Tosas and Sanhedrin, right, it turns out also that there are probably two Gemara Dins, because he knows the Gemara in Bava Kamma and Bava Metzia, he's just not bothered by it, and yet he thinks that the definition of Pshara in Sanhedrin, Bava Medbeis, really is Ploniyata Zakei, Ploniyata Chayiv. Even though he's talking about a pre-stage, but he's talking about a pre-stage of before Ploniyat HaZakai, Ploniyat, it would be Michael's, in the Rambam's, you know, Gomrim HaSadin Beinehem, or Gomrim HaSadavar, rather, Beinehem stage, but it's not the Ploniyat HaZakai, Ploniyat HaChayim. So according to Tosas and Sanhedrin, you know, he's not seemingly bothered even to resolve the Gemaras in Bava Kamma and in Bava Metzia. It sounds like he's comfortable with the idea that both of these are Gemar Dins. So how could that be? And I'd say in the Rambam it sounds that way too. Yeah.
You know, I've heard that according to the read that the Chayav Lidin on his Gemara, you could say that the Halacha Horsh.
Well, the Gemara calls it Hamada Bedin.
Right.
So we do have two definitions, and the Gemara. Okay, whatever you want to call it, I don't care. I again, for the moment, I don't really. If you want to say the two Gemara Dins, one is a Hamada Bedin, the other is a Gemara Din.
No,
that's fine.
No, I'm saying it.
As opposed to saying there are two Hamada Bedins or two Gemara Dins, doesn't matter. Well, a conception we'll get to it in a second, but it doesn't. Even that doesn't matter.
It
doesn't matter to me either. I'll explain in a minute. Okay. What I mean is as follows. So, what is this idea? I think very, very. So, let me just add two other points. We also find other Rishonim making chilukim that imply that they are comfortable with two ideas of whatever you want to call it. Amada B'din and Gemara Din, or two Gemara Dins, or two Amada B'dins. Again, I just don't want to get tripped up on the linguistic question. The Me'iri and Bava Kama is mechalek between Nezek and Milva. Right? Nezek depends on Seiteinlo. Now again, to explain all these things, it's not always so easy. Some of them I think are easier to explain than others. Milva, since there's Man Lipara, so the Nigmar Din depends on Chayev Atalite. That's the chiluk of the Me'iri and Arsogya. But it sounds like these are two definitions of Gemar Din. Not that, you know, in some cases depends on the pre or the post Gemar Din. Sounds like there are two ideas of Gemar Din. Rabbeinu Peretz and Bamitziah Yud Zayin Amid Aleph, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, told you to look at, also sounds that way. There is mechalek between Karka and Betaltalin. Karka, which is not Mechusar Gevaina, so Chai Batalitain is enough. Betaltalin, which is Mechusar Gevaina, so Tzeitain Lo is Kovei. And again, if you look at the language of Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz here in Bava Kama, it also sounds like there are two Gemar Dins, and Michael, there he is, suggested that if we look carefully at Tosfos and Bava Metzia, Yud Zayin and Aleph, it also may imply that there are two Gemar Dins. So what's going on here? So just very simply, to continue with what we began with, and that is, instead of saying there's one Gemar Din, why don't we just acknowledge that there are several things going on in every Din Torah, and in that respect, correspondingly, there are different Gemar Dins. One thing that's going on in every Din Torah is the theoretical maso maton to determine the halacha. And that too really consists of two components. One is Talmud Torah, pure and simple, and the other is Asuke Shmaitza Liba de Hilchasa. Presumably both of those things are being done in the Matz. You can't have, and this is very important for B'nai Yeshiva to know, you can't have the second without, you know, a rigorous and serious first. So you just can't stick, you know, can't cut old, you know, simply to Asuke Shmaitza Liba de Hilchasa without discussing the issues and the concepts. Every Maso Matan includes these two elements. But the Gomrim Es HaDavar certainly includes what the theoretical issues are going to be, given the challenge of a particular case that needs to be applied. Now, in some cases, the halach on the books is perfectly clear, and the only question is to ascertain the facts. In that case, the Maso Matan isn't a Beis Medrash Maso Matan. It's a fact collection or fact gathering process, you know, which is purely practical. But either way, generally speaking, in a Din Torah, at least there can be, and often there is, an analysis of the sugya. The sugya in light of new hechetimtzis brought up by a particular case, or the application of the sugya to the hechetimtzi in its own right. As far as that is concerned, so the Rav used to speak about this a lot, and Reb Chaim has it in the stencils, that the Rambam seems to have a special minyan when it comes to deciding the theory of the case, even before the actual practice. The Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Sanhedrin explains that Av u'Bno sometimes can be counted together. This is Perek Yud Aleph Halach above. Dine Mamonis Hatumas Ataros Matchilin. I'm sorry. Halach Zayin. Dine Mamonis V'chein Hatumas V'Ataros Av u'Bno Harav V'Talmido Mononosam B'Shnayim. Dine Nefashos Sumakos V'Kiddush Hachodesh Ibra Hashana Av u'Bno Harav V'Talmido Mononosam B'Echad. So it sounds like the Rambam thinks that you can count the father and the son, even other krovim, you can count them separately in the minyan of dayanim and dinim amanis, not in dinim nefashos. The Rambam disagrees. Amar Avram ena gemara chein. Basically, the girsa that many Rishonim had in the Gemara, including the Rambam, was that this is true regarding Tumos Vitaros, but not Dine Mamonis. Dine Mamonis, like Dine Nefashos, Avu Benoah Nimna Kiachod. What's the difference between Tumos Vitaros and Dine Mamonis and Dine Nefashos? So that's pretty obvious. That is that Tumos Vitaros is Horas Iser Veheter. And Horas Iser Veheter, you don't need a minion necessarily. You don't need three. If there's an argument among the Chachamim, how to paskin, either practically or theoretically, so then there might be a vote, and then you'll have a minyan. But there's l'chatchila no need for a minyan. It's hora. And in hora, there's no din of korva. There's no really din of dayanim, there's din of poskim, really. And it's about rov deos and so on. And we, as far as that is concerned, Abu Bino are counted separately. But when it comes to a bezdin, where there's a formal minyan, so then, krovim are psulim l'dayanus. And that's the end of the story, and that's how the Rabbi understood it. So how can the Rambam disagree? And what's the difference between Dine Mamonis and Dine Nefashos? Well, the Rambam himself clarifies, Zesha numonim ha'avim ha'ben, bein be'echad bein b'shnayim, kegon shay echad mehem b'sanhedrin, sheni o'yu talmidim, amir yeshi lamid z'kus al-chova, shomen dvarav v'nosim v'nosim imo, v'nimni nimo. And then he says, Halachates, u'b'shas gmar din, ein gomrim ez dino be'krovim. Shadayanim akrovim psul medim kimoshis bayar. So the Rambam himself says that when it comes to the Gemar Din, you don't count Abu Bno. So what is he talking about earlier when he says Monin osam bishnayim? So basically, Reb Chaim explains, Rav used to quote this a lot, that basically the Rambam's chiddush was the Rambam felt that in one respect Dini Mamonis was like Tumah Vitaro, and in another respect it's not. On the theoretical level, at least, the Maso Matan is treated like Tuma Vitahara, meaning it's treated like a base medrash discussion, like a theoretical discussion. And there really is a vote. And in that, Abu Bno, there's a vote at the end of the Maso Matan. And relating back to Michael's Ha'ara before about Gomrim as a davar, as opposed to Gomrim as a din, that's what I was referring to. Meaning, it's very possible that according to the Rambam, Gomrim as a davar isn't just, well, they come to this consensus, they talk informally amongst themselves, and they know where they're going, so that they'll know when the big moment comes, you know, to say in one breath, you know, Ploni Atazakai or Ploni Atachayiv. But maybe there really is a Gomrim, it's not just Gomrim as a davar, maybe it really is a kind of Gemar din to the Masa Umatan. At least in Dine Mamonis. In Dine Nefashos, on the other hand, the way the Rav used to explain it at least, was the entire discussion, I think it's a very powerful point, Mitchila v'ad sof is personal, and it's concrete. In other words, when a person's on trial for murder or for any other capital crime, we don't say two things are happening here at the same time. There's a theoretical discussion what would happen if, and then there's the application to the individual. Rather, the entire focus is connected to the individual whose fate will be decided by this entire deliberation. Therefore, mitchila v'ad sof, ha'av u'bno cannot be counted. Even on the maso maton isn't purely theoretical, and therefore, Avu Bno are one. They're not two. And this is a yesod which needs to be tested in a lot of areas in Sanhedrin. But, you know, a very, very important yesod. To what extent, right, is theory in the abstract and the concrete, effort to concretely apply it, to what extent are these two different things or not? It's a huge topic. Even in the malpractice sugya, right? Sugya in the Lamids was a Lamed Gimel, Lamed Dalet in Sanhedrin. Right? The Gemara talks about Dayan Shita. The Gemara there is linked to the whole sugya of Garmi. If a Dayan makes a mistake, there are two types of mistakes that he could make. Tov B'Shikol Adas, Tov B'Dvar Mishnah, but he makes a Toz B'Shikol Adas. We hold him accountable, but it isn't a Toz Gemura in which we just overturn the Psak. So, could be that's linked to the problem of Garmi. To what extent is this psak, in other words, a two-phased psak or a direct one? Okay, there are other aspects, you know, nasa v'nasan biyad. There are other reasons why it might be Garmi, but at least this is part of a larger discussion. So on the one hand, Dine Maimonides, at least, may have two very different components, the theoretical determination of the halacha and the concrete application. Beyond that comes the next question, and that is how we even relate, how do we relate concretely? Right. So there is a more abstract and gavra-oriented aspect to that as well. Ploni atazakai, ploni atachai. That's rendering a psak. Okay. It's the theoretical psak. It's also being applied to an individual, and it's relating to their status as gavras, being an Adam Zakai and Adam Chayiv, in some cases a Shem Rasha, Begavra, for example, in Yom Psulei Edus, right, that would be important. We talked about the Rabbi Kiveger earlier in the year, right, Gilyon HaShas and the Makos, the Hayom and Aleph. There, the Makos, Hayom and Aleph, the Gemara says that the definition of Bar Chiyuva for Mamonis is different than for Knossos and the Fashos, regarding Azama, right? If you're involved in Hazama about someone who is already a Bar Chiyuva, you're Pater. What does it mean to be a Bar Chiyuva? So when it comes to the Foshos and Knossos, it depends on Gemar Din. When it comes to Mamonis, it depends on the Mais. Tosus had it as his explanation. Rabbi Kiveger has his explanation, but that's the Gemara. If we assume in the general direction of Rabbi Kiveger's explanation, what it means is that Gemar Din in Dine Mamonis and Gemar Din in Dine Nefashos are very different. Because Gemar Din in Dine Mamonis is mostly about clarifying, you know, what already exists. But when it comes to Knossos and Nefashos, something is created by the Gemar Din. Maybe the actual Chiyuv Knas. And in the case of Dine Nefashos, also pronouncement on the Gavr. So Ploni Atachai, Ploni Atazakai is in the realm of, you know, the transition from theory to practice, but on the Gavra level. Then comes Chayav Atalitein, which says, you know, one more practical step, and relating already to the Bitsua Hadin, not just the findings of the court, theoretical and personal, they're more than personal, now they're, you know, being translated Lamaisa. And then, of course, you have Tzeitainlo, which is the actual demand for adherence to the court's ruling, you know, the actual implementation, execution. So if that's the case, we should say as follows. Anything that relates to establishing the theory, or the gavra, or the chiyuv, is going to probably depend on the early Gemar Din. Anything relating to the actual execution or being in defiance of the execution of the court order, or having to do with the disbursement, the distribution of the actual psak, the money in particular, is going to have to do with Tzeitainlo. Certainly not going to have to do with Ploni Atazakai, Ploni Atachaya. So if we now look back, we can say the following. Pshara may even depend on the stage before. Now, Tosis explains that Pshara depends on the stage before because of Hata'a. Okay, very possibly. One could have said even more than that. Already earlier than the pronouncement of Ploni Atachai, Ploni Atazakai, especially in Dine Mamonis, which is the only time we could talk about Pshara, right? There already is the theoretical, let's call it again, the Rambam that Michael was talking about, Gomri Mesadavar. Once you have Gomri Mesadavar, even if you don't have Gomri Mesadin, it's quite possible that it's too late for Pshara. Not Mukhrach, but possible. So if you say that even pre-Ploni Atazakai, Ploni Atachai, there's no Pshara, which is the view of some Balei Tosis, we could explain it in that way. Maybe that's the Pshat of Hatah, meaning we already know what the Psak is, not just what it's likely to be. On a theoretical level, Avu Bno can vote in this one, but it's actually a minyan, right? A minyan of Gemar Maso Matan. That's Koveya for certain halachas. If not that, at least Ploni Atazakai, Ploni Atachayev means that we're no longer dealing with Balei Dinim, we're dealing with Azakai and Achayev. The Shem Baldin is Paka, the second that you say, or the Shnei Balei Dinim that are equal, but we're worried about mistatmin tanoseihem, you know, about inhibiting them, and we're worried about not giving them equal treatment. All those halachos, that's gone the second that you've pronounced Ploniat Hazakai, Ploniat. That isn't gone when you know how the din is going to go. Maybe Pshara is already gone by that. But until you say the words Ploniat Hazakai, Ploniat Hachayiv, and change the status of Bali Dinim from equal protagonists into a winner and a loser, right? All those dinim apply. The second you say Ploniat Hazakai, Ploniat Hachayiv, they're no longer two Bali Dinim. You have a Chayiv and a Zakai. Anything having to do with those halachos is over. Now, what about the Chiyuv? That also may be over the second that you say Ploniat Zakai, Ploniat Chayiv. Because if by implication, when I say that you're Zakai and you're Chayiv, what I'm saying is that there is a Chiyuv. A owes B. Certainly, that is established when you say Chayiv Atalite, if that is a separate stage. If Chayiv Atalitein is the same as Ploniat Hazakai, then it's because it's implicit. When you say Ploniat Hazakai, it means Ploniat Hachayiv, it means he owes you. Anything having to do with the Chiyuv as a Chiyuv is sealed at that point in time. But anything having to do with implementing the Psak or with the status of the Cheftza Shel Mamon, for that you require Tzei Tein Lo. So getting back to our Gemara, Chazra Karen Labailin. Chazra Karen Labailin probably depends on either the Shem Gavra being established as a Ganav, Ploniat Hachayiv, Ploniat Hazakai, or the Chiyuv. The whole point is that if you usurp, if you preempt the actual Chiyuv, you can be metaken things. Chazra Karen Labailin. However we explain Chazra Karen Labailin. Right? It's not, if you're not related to the Chiyuv Tashlumin, or certainly not a Kiyama Tashlumin, but you're preempting the whole thing, that's Chazer Karen Labailin. But the second that we say you're a Ganav, or and there's a Chiyuv, there's no Chazer Karen Labailin. But if you want to remove the Shem Ganav of the Cheftza and say that it turns into a Bikadon, you can't do that until you say Tzei Tein Lo. Because until you say Tzei Tein Lo, you're not relating to the actual Cheftza Shel Mamon. What you are saying is that it continues to be Ganuv. On the contrary, you're saying it's Ganuv. The second you say Tzei Tein Lo, and even then one might have thought not, but that would be the earliest point where you could say, oh, Bezin is taking care of the destiny of the object. They've said Tzei Tein Lo. They've given the Tzivui to give it back. At this point, it turns into a Pikadon. Just one more second, if you don't mind. So let me get to what I think maybe the best example of it is Tosus on Ayin Beis. What does Tosus on Ayin Beis say? Morish Knas Labanov depends on the Hamada Bedin of Chayiv Atalitein. Chamisha Chatzoi Bakar, that depends on Tzei Tein Lo. Why? Well, Chamisha Chatzoi Bakar, as we pointed out, has nothing to do with the, doesn't seem to have anything to do with the Chiyuv or the Mechayiv. That should depend, at least according to many Rishonim, on Shas Tvicho Mechira. What it does have to do with is, in fact, the multiple that will be paid, namely not the Chiyuv HaTashlumin, but the Kiyuv HaTashlumin. If before the Tashlumin you already own some of it, not because of Karen Labailin, but because of Yerusha, that's a problem of Chamisha Chatzai Bakar, if there indeed is a problem of Chamisha Chatzai Bakar in Chiyuv Dalet V'Heh. So of course, Chiyuv Dalet V'Heh depends on Tzei Tein Lo. But Unamorish Knas Labanov has to do with one of several things. Basically, what it has to do with establishing that the Chiyuv Knas exists. Whether it's Bezin that creates it. Now, when Bezin creates the Chiyuv Knas, that doesn't depend on Tzei Tein Lo. That for sure depends on Ploniat Hazakai, or at minimum, Chayiv Atali Tein Lo. The problem of Morish Knas Labanov is either that it's a knas, or even more, that it's nothing, it's a Dover Shalom Bali Olam. But it's not once Bezdin finds Ploniat Hachayiv, Ploniat Hazakai, or Chayiv Atalite. So that halacha certainly depends on the earlier Hamada Bedin, and I think that's the answer to Tosis' question. You could be Morish something which is outstanding. You just can't be Morish something which, you know, is completely non-existent. Okay, Dovi had a question.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, can you tweak Rebbe's saying about the end of the Chazer Karen Labailin, the ending of, in terms of relating to the Tefes?
Yeah.
Could you tweak it and say also in terms of relating to the Gav and the Maisik Neva? And even if we've already been Kovedi Zaganov, if the point of Chazik of Hamad is to say that Maisik Neva is over,
right.
So that's only going to be once we've actually said, say Kinlo and there's a real.
I mean, even the, well, I think that that's true. Until what I said before, I'm not sure if it's different. I said, until the object becomes a pikadon, as long as it remains a chefet haganuv, then there's still a possibility to continue
right.
the gneva.
Because the
Meiri says that,
explains the Gemara, he explains he focuses on the gavra.
And he's still a ganav? And he is a ganav. When you say poni atachayv, you're saying you're a ganav.
No longer being a ganav.
You no longer become a ganav when maybe the chiyuv to pay is not based on gneva anymore, but the chiyuv tashlumin is imposed by ben. Maybe that's another way to say it. But either way, the point is that it would be very sensible for stage two to be koveya rather than stage one. Yeah.
It just seems that in formulation of the Rambam, there seem to be different implications on this issue.
Yeah.
On the one hand, the Rambam says the transition between chayv talita and seitein is the difference between omid b'gnevasu and lo omid b'gnevasu. The other point of the Rambam is that the Rambam says that.
Well, that's like our sugya, yeah.
Right, but he seems to focus on the gavra in that sense.
Well, so maybe it's we might say, is he acting like a gavra? Is by not paying now he being morayed on the tzivui bezdin of tzei tainlo, or is he continuing to hold on to the chayfetz as he did b'toras ganov? Since the status of the object itself hasn't changed in any way.
And it's even stronger because. The Rambam tells us that in Chayav HaTalitin Lo, he emphasizes Lo Chaschu Es Hadin Alav. Whereas in Seitein, he says that the Ruchotech Es Hadin, and Chayav HaTalitin Lo, the Ruchotech Es Hadin, but they won't Ruchotech
Right, right, because there is a Psak on the Gav. I think it works well. Amida also, by the way, works well, this way, which is what I meant yesterday. When the two of you first brought up Amida, and again, I have my doubts whether or not it really belongs to the sugya at all in terms of the Edim and any formal thing and so on and so forth. But according to Rabbeinu Chanan on the Rambam, and certainly according to the Beis Yosef, I'm inclined to think that it does, that it is linked. But I think it's very good that that should depend on the theoretical psak. The din of Amida has very little to do with the implementation of the psak or the change in status of the Chefta Shel Mamon. You know, it's like, you know, we've all, you know, it's like Perry Mason, you know. You know, will the defendant, you know, arise? It's not how much money he's going to pay. Is he going to be pronounced, you know, guilty or innocent? You know, that's the key. Begavra, you stand because your fate is now being established. Not how much money you're going to pay or what's going to happen to the controversial chayfets in your reshus. Are you being pronounced zakai or chayev? That's what's koveya for Amida.
The only thing that I still wasn't sure about is that at the beginning of the Rambam actually has a key change in the formulation of the Gemara.
Yeah.
The Gemara says, say Tenlo is the Gemara Din.
Which Gemara are you talking about now?
I don't remember.
Okay.
The Gemara says, just say Tenlo.
Is the Gemara Din for Tzvicha Mechira?
Right, so the Rambam changed the Lashon. The Rambam says, he said, in the Chayat of the Gemara, just says Chayat of the Tenlo. And say Tenlo, he says, say Tenlo, Masha Gonavta. There's actually the formulation made in the second.
Good, so I think that's just a way of saying that.
It seemed like that was a focus on.
I would say it's a focus on the Cheft. Yeah, exactly.
Whereas at the end of Alacha, it seemed to be that this focus was on Chaskos Adin Allah. The moment is not only in the
Allah. As opposed to Chaskos Adin. Chaskos Adin Allah refers to.
Meaning he says.
To Hamad Abedin. To the earlier.
No. Meaning Chaskos Adin Allah, the Chesar is that they weren't Chaskos Adin Allah.
Uh-huh.
Right, implying that there needs to be a change in the Gav, that he's no longer only doing Nevasim because there was a Chitra Adin Alav. Whereas in
I don't think it means that. I think Chadin Alav in the Rambam. I think it means in terms of what he's supposed to do with the object. I think what we're saying is, since the issue of Tzvicha Mechira has to do with the object, is it still in the throes of Gneva, or is it now turned into Bikadon? So we're not Chote Chadin Alav regarding the. Chayfetz until we say Tzeitein Lo, but had this halacha depend on the but it doesn't depend on the gavra. I mean, he could be zaka, he could be chayv, but have to do tzvicha mechira.
So in seder we thought that perhaps that would line up well with the Gemara in Shemitah, where perhaps.
You mean the Rambam in Shemitah? That I can't comment that because I would want to look at the language.
It just seemed like that Tzeitein Lo could have been.
Well, you're saying, I thought you were telling me that Shemitah Perek Tes, he says, Poliatazaka, Poliatachai. Again, I have to see the context.
There was some kind of conflict between Gavra and Chefetz.
I don't think so. I think it just means how he relates to, how they both relate to this Chefetz now. Is this a Chefetz which is Birshus Haganov and nothing has changed? Or Chotzkin Olav Esadin, meaning that it's, like he says previously, the Chefetz now has a different status. It's now, if you continue not to give it back, it's not the continuation of the Geneva, it's a defiance of Chotzkin Olav Esadin. You now have a psak relating to this object. It's the merit of Bezdin. Anyway, I'll look at the one in Shemitah. Shemitah, I'm not sure about. But I think that the one in Shavuos Naflam, all these pretty much work out well. This chiluk between Karka and Metalton, I think, works out well as well, because the whole point is that Karka is not Mechusar Gevayna. The psak din, when it comes to Karka, is primarily about the rights of the Gavra. Then Mimela, the Chefetz, is Birshus. Metaltalin requires Gvia. Tseitenlo may play a role. I think Ishtamuta Kamishtamit may work in this way as well. The chiluk between Nezek and Nilva is a little more challenging, but I think that could be explained as well. Let me just say something about, since I have only like 2 minutes left, I want to say something about the Sugya and Horios, or maybe I'll just speak 5 minutes about it on Monday as well. The Gemara and Horios, as we explained, is very, very interesting. The Gemara has two deos, whether or not you require mutarim atem lasos, or mutarim atem is sufficient. The Gemara itself characterizes this in Horios as nigmar hadin. Sounds like the Gemara thinks that this is a part of, this is a definition of Gemar din. Gemara says, Omar Shmuel, the other man bezin chayav al atchiyom le mutar matem, Rav Din ben Hardayim, atchiyom le mutar matem lasos. Lefi shalo nigmara hora. It doesn't say nigmar din, it says nigmara hora. Okay. Nigmara hora. It doesn't talk about Gemar hora either, it says nigmara hora. The Mishnah has a slightly different language. The issue, of course, is being Tola bebezdin or not Tola bebezdin. One could have said that the entire sugya in Horios has nothing to do with our sugya for the following reasons. Number one, as I said before, we're not talking primarily about a concrete specific case, you know, about which you're going to say Ploniato Zakai or the equivalent of Zakai or Chayev. We're talking about Bezna Gadol rendering policy psak for the future, and mostly on a theoretical level with practical impact. The irony is that the Sugis and Horios are at once and the same time, and I think this isn't coincidental and just ironic, but this is exactly the point. They're the most theoretical and the most practical. In other words, we focus on Beis Din because they are the Supreme Court of Halacha, and they establish, you know, psak and policy both. And that's why their hora is what the sug is about. Their hora can be the kind of hora which, if people count on it, absolves them from individual guilt. It makes it a different kind of an issue. It's a fault in the system. The korban is brought because the system broke down, not because of the ma'isa aveira specifically. On the one hand, there's that perspective, the perspective that this is really Beis Din's chait, and it's their theoretical error. On the other hand, it's perfectly clear that that's not the whole story. We need results. We need that Klal Yisrael was misled as a result of this psak. And not only that, but Rov Klal Yisrael, and all the discussion, each shave it separately, how you define Rov only in Eretz Yisrael, because that's communal Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Kal Yisrael Shem Eretz Yisrael Likri Kal, Kal Yisrael Shem Bechutz Laretz Lo Likri Kal, all those dinim show this is a Klal Yisrael issue, but the point is that Rov Klal Yisrael have to be misled, so it isn't purely theoretical. Perhaps one of the ways of overcoming the gap, but of relating to both of these elements, that it's a breakdown in Beis Din, and yet it's one which has enormous practical impact, is that the psak itself has to reflect its practical purpose and mislead in an unequivocal way at the same time. which is maybe responsible for why Dezen has to say mutarim atem, or maybe even further, have to say mutarim atem lasos. So that it isn't just a breakdown in the system, but it's a breakdown in the system which undermines the leadership capacity of legal capacity of Bezna Gadol. Yeah.
Isn't the Gemara learning from, I didn't take a look at the time, isn't the Gemara learning from Zaken Mamre?
Oh, so we'll get to, so there are two examples that the Gemara does bring. One is Zaken Mamre, and the other is the case of Isha Sha Kilkala Bihitiru Linase, which is a little bit questionable. Right. So, but before we get to that, let me just explain one more minute what I mean. So that, I think, also accounts, what I'm suggesting, why we talk about Tola Bebezdin on the one hand, and at the same time we talk about Nigmar Hora, because basically we're talking about the kind of theoretical Hora, Nigmar Hora, which practically has the impact of destroying the observance of the entire unit of Klal Yisrael. Even then, I think, we're not learning Horios now, but I think this is these two themes, normally which are opposite, which come together here, I think the dialectic between these two themes is a very critical issue in these sugyas. That's how much, is it mostly the theoretical and the bezdin with the condition that it be impactful, it isn't just sitting in the base medrash, but it be impactful as well, but that just highlights even further how unacceptable this psak is. Or, the other way, it's more they were Machtia and Machshil Klal Yisrael. And that's really the primary foundation. Of course, it was done how they do it, which is B'Psak Halacha. It's a way of making all Klal Yisrael onus more than it is faulting Bezen for its P'sak. Even if you just look at the discrepancy between Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat Peh, you just look at Rashi in the Parsha and Vayikra, you can see the Psukim read one way, Rashi reads another way. Again, we learned Sanhedrin a few years ago. I emphasize this for another reason, to explain the overlap between Smichas Kenim and this Halacha, but that's not for now. But the point is that there really are two elements, and it's the integration or the proper balance between the two, which is the real story of the Mechayim of Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur. Namely, how much of Bezdin being the Mechayev, or Bezdin's representative of Klal Yisrael because they were machshil them, and it's really more about the Maisa Avera than it is about the theoretical improper Hora. Now, Noah's point is absolutely well taken. That is that the Gemara has two, in its discussion of the Beis Amidala, the Gemara starts to prove from two things. One is Zakein Mamre, and the other is Isha Shekilkala, when they told her Itirua Linase. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's all the same halacha. What it does certainly establish is that it's very possible that there is a common denominator. What would that common denominator be? So, Zaken Mamre, I think we understand very well. We have the same issue. Right? In Zaken Mamre, to what extent are we worried about the rebellion within the ranks of Chachmei Amesora, right? And the improper procedural, the implications of the improper procedure, you know, when a Chacham of Mesorah has a very strong conviction and he fights relentlessly to win the day because it's Kvod Hashem Udaresh, that's all fine and good. And if he wants to continue giving shiurim and arguing, he can do that as well. But if he doesn't know that, you know, that when Bezdin Hagadol votes him down, that to continue is to be a Zakein Mamre, then that's a very, very serious problem. And it's a serious problem not only because of its practical impact, but it's a problem, you know, to... At that point, does his conviction become admirable when it's at odds with part of the contract, the implicit contract of being a Chachmei HaMesorah, which is that you sign on to the procedural as well as the substantive aspect of Bezen HaGadol? I think these are very important issues. On the other hand, Chazal constantly speak about Zaken Mamre, you know, on the practical side as well. Namely, that he is fragmenting Klal Yisrael. She lo yu kishtei toros. You know, just read the Ramban in Perush al Torah when he tries to explain abot tzrichim achraza, one of which is Zaken Mamre. So he, you know, paints Zaken Mamre. You know, he's so admirable. He's a man of principle. He refuses to bend. Why are we killing the poor guy? The answer is, you know, he's destroying the unity of Klal Yisrael, which is a value, of equal or greater consideration. Okay. But the Ramban doesn't only mean that. I think he also understands the first point, which is at some point it becomes not admirable but really problematic because he's more committed to himself and to his intellectual conclusion than he is to, you know, to his role as one being one of the Chachamim HaMusar. I don't think he denies that, but what I'm saying is the pragmatic aspect of the Shloyu Kishnei Taros is huge as well, and you have to look at the different halachos and the different formulations. From that point of view, the unequivocal character of the psak, and especially its potential to mislead, as opposed to just being theoretical, becomes an important component in Zaken Mamre. Not because the common denominator is Gemar Din of Kol HaTorah Kula, which is shared by the two, but because of this halacha, being Tola B'Acherim, Tola B'Dayanim, or this impact of theory and practice. And I think that to some extent that is true in Isha Shekilkala, because of the Hitirua Bezdin as well, except of course on a lesser level. That is, to what extent is Shianusa? The issue isn't so much is there a psak or isn't a psak, if there's a psak, end of story, but maybe when it comes to that particular issue, you require more than a psak. You require that she be anusa, that she's tola legamri, al das bezdin. And anything other than a totally unequivocal psak of laheter doesn't work for that. So I think the question is very much in place. Now, the truth is that the Zaken Mamre side of it is challenged. I'm going to stop here. I guess we'll finish with this next time. By the Mitzvah Eson anyway. Mitzvah Eson says, if you look at the Sifrei, it sounds like Zaken Mamre, the Din of Lassos, is a special Din in Zaken Mamre. Mitzvah Eson and Horius, I told you to look at. And he says, but so why is the Gemara bring your question exactly, but for a different reason? No, for a different. Why is the Gemara bring a Raya from Zaken Mamre? Zaken Mamre is different, there's a Lassos component, etc. He ends up saying, no, the 2 days about Zaken Mamre are the same as the 2 days in the Gemara about Horius. It's all one happy, single idea. But I think that, you know, Yesh Makom Lachlo, it could be that there is an overlap, but there is also a huge difference. I'll speak about it next time very quickly. And that is Horaz Bezin, as I said, is about the function of Psak, Bezin being the ultimate arbiter and yet making a mistake, the impact of being Machshil. Zaken Mamre has another component which doesn't exist, and that's the component of Mamre, of merit, which is also why the Psak Lassos is particularly crucial. Okay. Okay. So basically what I'm suggesting is that there are different perspectives in Horas, Parum Davar Shel Tzibur, which might make this a completely different sugya, and might also require that you require totally unequivocal and tliya, which comes not only from saying mutarim atem, but mutarim atem lasos. I just want to speak about it a little bit more next time, 5 minutes, and then we'll move on to Davar Lachatzi Davar on Monday. So we'll have Ashkaf on 12:30 and 1 o'clock. How are
you?
Oh,
yeah, I wasn't. Are you here? Do you have any other open time today?
The club hour?
I had something at 3, but what do you have before?